Okay, I'm talking to Christians today in particular, because for one thing, right off the bat, I used to be one of y'all for a lot of years of my life, and this is not a condescending message, this is not a hateful message, this is not trying to convert you to something else, because I'm not a part of a religion anymore, and I'm not trying to sell or indoctrinate anything at all. What I want to do is speak from my own experience in that world and just offer that you consider something and take a look at yourself. So, for my time in Christianity, which was of the evangelical Western, American variety, and for a chunk of that time also in the Reformed world, but also have kind of been in the Baptist world and the evangelical free world. I mean, you know, they all in some ways run together and are relatively similar at their core. And I suppose this applies to Catholics to some degree, but Catholics are mostly just kind of laps and don't, you know, kind of do what they want, you know, as a broad stroke. But so in Christianity, especially in these Reformed churches, it's so heady and theological. It's all based on these, you know, the pillars, these authors, you know, these great theological minds from throughout the centuries. And don't get hung up on who's in what theological camp or another. I'm not even going to try to say the authors' names. You know who comes to mind, and that's fine. Whether from the most shallow to the most incredibly deep and difficult to understand, the John Calvins and the Martin Luthers, or Tim Keller. I'm already naming names. Okay, let's get out of that. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Whoever comes to mind for you when it's Christian authors or all that. These guys always love books. You know, you walk into these pastors' offices and it's just rows and rows of books, just these huge tomes of literature, you know, commentary on the scriptures, like an 800-page book that's just about the, you know, Galatians or something. You know, these giant commentaries and these that break down every single word in scripture, and commentary on the Bible in Hebrew, the Old Testament in Hebrew, the New Testament in its original Greek, and every possible word and syllable and every translation and all that. And the funny thing is that a lot of churchgoers, at least the ones that I knew over the course of 26 years, first of all, a lot of them have never even read the entire Bible front to back in their native language. Now, that's not a judgment. That's not a condemnation or a condescension. I didn't read the whole damn thing either. And yet it's so funny how many people are hinging their entire life and proselytizing to others in their life based upon a belief system the root text of they themselves have not even read all the way through. Plenty of them have. That's fine. But it's just notice that. So, Christians, these guys, and I'd go to these men's breakfasts and these, you know, men's coffees, retreats or whatever. And I know these sort of things exist for women. Don't get hung up on the gender, whatever. It's just saying that's very much in the Christian world. Let's get together. Let's do our Bible study during the week on Wednesday night. You know, let's go to each other's houses and read this little passage and like talk about what it means to us. Let's talk about this psalm and like what it evokes and what it makes us feel about God and how it makes us feel and all that. Okay. And so a lot of Christians have a bunch of books, whether theological or spiritual self-help or whatever it may be, that they've been meaning to read or that they have read a lot of. Let's say, for sake of argument, that you had, if you are a Christian that is watching this right now, you had all the time in the world, and your brain was functioning at perfect capacity. You were able to pay attention and stay focused and retain what you read with perfect clarity. And let's even go so far as to say that you were able to memorize the entire Bible in your native language and memorize it in the original Hebrew and memorize it in the original Greek, and you had that whole thing locked and loaded in here. Plus, you'd also read every theological or spiritual book you've ever been meaning to read, the ones that are sitting on your bedside and that are half read, the ones that are sitting on your shelf and that you've been meaning to get to, or, you know, if you're the kind of person who maybe orders a new book on Amazon constantly once every week and is like, oh, but there's a new one out. I got to read this. Oh, that sounds more interesting. That sounds more like where I'm at right now in my life. And that's fine. That's fine. I've been there. Let's just say you've read them all and you've memorized the entire Bible. Okay. Take that to its umpteenth degree. Take that to the furthest extent. What do you have at the end of doing all that? You've read every book you've ever wanted to. You've memorized the entire scriptures. And you have what? You have a bunch of mental knowledge that is going to die with your physical body. Now, can you use that knowledge to, I don't know, help educate others? Perhaps. Yeah, within that belief system, sure. Can you use that information to go to little, men's whiskey and worship meetings, you know, where you sit around a fire and drink some nice top tier or at least middle tier whiskey and talk about, oh, what this passage means. And actually the original Greek says this, and actually Jesus said this, and ta-da-da, and toss it back and forth and feel very smart and very, you know, theological and very, literate and very educated and all that. And leave the evening feeling like you got a word in, and you helped someone understand a deeper meaning of the book of Philemon or something. You know, that's still all just in the mind, which is an illusion and a delusion. It's still all mental stuff. Is any of that mental knowledge actually taking you deeper in experience of the deity that you propose to believe in? You know, maybe it is. Maybe all that heady knowledge makes you feel closer to God, what you call God, or feel that you have a deeper understanding of the person that you perceive as Jesus. But ultimately, it's still just a bunch of textbooky bullshit that, you know, it's temporary. It's in your brain for now until your brain ages and falls apart and ultimately dies. Now, I'm not even trying to be nihilistic or morbid or macabre, but that is a part of this. And so, you know, I think the thing is, what troubles me is that Christians can get very hung up on mental ideas and hinging an entire belief system, hinging their entire lives and the choices they make and the people they interact with and the way that they move through the world based upon mental ideas only and anecdotal evidence of their experience of their perception of God. You know, I'm sure that everyone who claims to be a Christian these days has at least one story of some way in which they feel that God, quote unquote, showed up in their life, or that some sort of synchronicity happened or some sort of miracle came through for them. They experienced something near death or out of body, or a moment in which they were in danger and they ended up being saved from trouble or harm in some way. And yeah, I'm not discounting any of that. But the thing is that to believe, to hinge one's entire life on this belief in, the sort of Father God of the Old Testament and the Son of God, Jesus Christ, from the New Testament, who, according to this belief system, came to die so that the sins of everyone who believes would be covered, would be saved, would be forgiven. So there's tangents on that I won't go into right now, but I just want to point out that it's like, you won't know if that is the real thing or not. You won't know if that is the ultimate truth of everything until you're dead. That's the only confirmation you have, because God is not speaking to you audibly. God is not showing up in your bedroom in visible form. at least not for most people. And, you know, to hinge yourself upon this is going, I put so much trust that, yeah, when this consciousness leaves my body, I am certain that I believe the right things and that I'm going to meet Jesus or God or whoever it is, and that I've believed the right things, prayed the right prayers, asked for forgiveness, and so the sort of checklist of this lifetime is done. And I would just propose that that's a lot to hinge one's life upon. And you know, I'm not even trying to be unkind or cruel by introducing doubt. I only want you to consider that for yourself, and that is that a wise way to operate? Is that the only way to operate? And is that worth betting everything upon? You know, I think that something that troubles me about the ideologies of Christianity, the sort of the dogma or the core beliefs or the interpretation of the main text, is that another thing I want you to consider for yourself is, like, where does your interpretation of the Bible actually come from? You know, and you could, it might be easy to say, well, this is what the text says, and this is what God means by it, because God spoke through these men and women throughout history to write these things down, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and we interpret these for our daily lives. Like, I get it, man. I've been there. I used to think that too. But I would bet that a lot of your framework for what those passages actually mean has come from primarily men at a church pulpit telling you what it means, you know, taking their interpretation of a scripture, which was ultimately, you know, they learned that from other books written by primarily men, written by men who took their account from men before them. And there are some women in there, of course. There are women pastors, there are women authors, but let's be honest, it's been mostly a bunch of swinging dicks, okay, who have sort of carried the torch of this thing. And, you know, it's just, it's easy to get really caught up, or especially if this has been programmed into you from a young age, if this has been reiterated to you from a young age, of like, this is what this means, this is what God said, this is how to interpret these passages, and here's who these biblical figures were. This part was literal, this part was metaphorical, this part was a dream or a vision, and this part actually happened. This part is history, this part is poetry, this part, we don't really know what this is, let's just not really look at that or there. You know, where does all the interpretation of that stuff come from? Mostly it has been told to you. Mostly it's been told to you, hasn't it? I'm sure there are cases that are exemptions of that, and people who have only read these texts and come up with their own interpretations, but it's just like, be careful what you hinge your life upon if you haven't come to those conclusions for yourselves. And I'm speaking from experience here. You know, for years I would go around and have an extremely close-minded way of thinking about the world, and a very close-minded view, a very limiting view of who people were, of what was okay and what wasn't okay, of which people were sinful and living in sin, and which people were like, I don't even know what the term is, redeemed or something. I sort of cringe to say that, but it's like, so much of my framework came from listening to pastors, listening to these sermons, reading these books, and going like, oh yeah, that makes sense. That matches up sort of with what I've already been told. And then I read the scriptures in this way, and it reiterates that idea. And so I keep operating in the world as if this is true. And did that for years, and was really judgmental of a lot of people, and really close-minded, and really actually kind of disgusting and terrible in my thinking, because I had been limited by a mindset that was built by a bunch of really ignorant men. And I hung on to that until that all fell apart. And what an incredible gift it was that it fell apart. Because I realized that all the things outside of that world, outside of the Christian world, outside of Christian history and theology and the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of the apostles and the Old Testament stories, that there is incredible freedom. There's incredible mystery and intrigue and a bunch of wild, amazing things to experience and explore. But that when one is inside of that system, they say all other religion is heresy, and that there is only one true God, and that don't read these other things, don't educate about these things, don't educate yourself, don't look at these things, and definitely don't live in a worldly way, because that is against God's law, and that's sin, and it will lead you down a road of it'll lead you astray, brother. That, you know what, brother, that road's going to lead you astray, you know? And it's just like, dude, well, yeah, doesn't that sound a little bit like kind of a rigged system to make sure the people, the peasants, the ones who are not in the positions of leadership and control and authority, make sure the little sheep don't ever go looking outside of the pen, you know, because they're, maybe there's something out there that they shouldn't find, because they'll realize that truth is out there outside the pen. So we have to say, stay in the pen, stay within the cage, stay safe, stay right in here, stay right in here. We'll make you some Christian novels and some really bad Christian TV and movies and some really shitty Christian music that is 10 years behind the rest of the music industry. And make sure all your friends are just Christian too, and go to your Bible study and read your little women's books about, you know, drawing closer to God, and make sure your whole existence is wrapped up with this safe stuff so we can keep you safe, because the big scary world out there is owned by the devil. You know, I mean, dude, my friend, my sweet friend, let me tell you, if you are resonating with any of this and you find yourself still within that way of thinking and still perhaps convinced of or clinging to Christian ideas, if you're intrigued by what else is out there in the world as far as other ways of thinking, even other religions, sure, look at them, read about them, find out, like, just explore. It's fine. I used to think it was heresy too. I used to think it was somehow dangerous or false gods or demons or things that were gonna lead me astray. It's not, man. It's fine. And actually, you kind of have to do the scary thing of stepping out of it to realize how fine it is. And the pastors and the leaders and the home group leaders, the Bible study leaders, the youth pastors, the leaders of your church, they're not going to be game for that, most likely. They're going to condemn and condescend you and scold you for looking outside of the system. And maybe they in particular don't feel the need to keep you in control, but they're brainwashed too, man. They've bought the farm too. They've drank the Kool-Aid. They are convinced, and they're so steeped in that world that they cannot see beyond the veil. My message to you, believers of Jesus, and those who would consider yourself a Christian, I just want to say, you know, consider that perhaps you shouldn't be so sure of what you know. Just as a personal experiment, to make sure that one is not so arrogant as to be absolutely certain of what's going on here, when the confirmation of that only comes after death, you know? So please do explore. Please look outside of the realm that you are in. And I don't think I'm even calling you, well, I know I'm not, but within the framework of what you might be thinking or believing, or what you've grown up believing, it might feel dangerous, it might feel scary, might feel scandalous. You're fine. It's all right. You know, do the brave thing and take a step out of that and see what happens. You can always return. It's not like I'm not saying go live some wild, promiscuous life of partying. I just mean look into other ideas and possibilities and just have a healthy amount of skepticism and question, you know, where really did these ideas come from that I'm forming my life around? Where does my interpretation really root from? Because even as a thought experiment, as a personal experiment, I would propose that that will be valuable to you. So all my love, all my understanding, and anybody who comes at me in the comments or through messages trying to say, but the Bible says this about false prophets, or the Bible, you know, God says this about this passage, da da da. It's like, man, that's not going to work on me. I used to be you, okay, my friend. I was once there, and I understand where you're coming from, and it's all right. But you know, don't waste your breath on me, and don't waste your prayers on me, because I'm good, man. And I would like you to be good too. So I do a podcast about this sort of stuff called Zeit Heist. There's a couple episodes out now. It's in all the places you can get podcasts, and this very talk is a part of that. You know, it's an inquiry into the world of spirituality, into deep meditation practices, into the world of the occult even, and along with some fun sort of music, creativity, artsy stuff infused in there as well, and having a sense of humor about these things, because some of it can just be so god-awful serious. And it is serious, and it's real, and I take it seriously. And my practice is sincere, utterly. But we also got to realize this universe has a sense of humor too. Or otherwise, we wouldn't. So check out Zeit Heist. YouTube is the best place to see it, because you get the video form with all the bonus stuff. But it's also on the podcast places in audio form only. I do a Patreon. Who doesn't these days? If you like what I do, if you appreciate what I do, send me some shit over there, okay? If you don't want to, I don't give a shit. Thank you for listening to this. Thank you for watching. Thank you for being here. Take care. Ask big questions. Do the scary thing. You only live once. Take risks. Move towards the thing that is most scary to you, all right? It's fine. It's fine. I mean, stay within the rules of society and don't hurt anybody. But, yeah, look into that deep, scary shit, you know? Namaste, be well, blessings of the Divine Mother upon you. You know, shaking my little, the little Pope thing. Okay, ending the stream.